It's the 19th or 20th of June, something like that. Did we switch it on? Yes, it is on. Going around, yeah. 19th or 20th of June, 1986, I'm in Karratha. It's Wendy Lowenstein. 87, it's 86 or 87. Wendy Lowenstein interviewing Arthur Clarke in Karratha. Arthur, C-L-A-R-K-E. And Arthur is the AMWU organiser for the Northwest. Is that the correct title? And a state official of the Amalgamated Metal Workers Union. You're the only organiser in the Northwest, aren't
you? No, for the Metal Workers Union, Wendy, there's another organiser stationed in Port Hedland, Don Bartlett, who has responsibility for the northern spread of the Pilbara and the Kimberleys.
I see, and then you've got somebody just started in Perth, in Karratha, too, haven't you?
That's correct. There's another organiser started, Jock Ferguson, whose primary responsibility is the Burrup Peninsula construction, and also to assist the other two organisers when required.
Yeah, well, just give us a little bit of a rundown on what AMWU members do, what jobs they do, how many there are, what industries they work in, that sort of thing. Can you tell us, if I want to know anything else, I'll interrupt, but otherwise I'll let you have a free go.
There's approximately 2,500 members of the union in the Pilbara. They're permanently employed in the Pilbara. Then there is construction workers who are employed on construction projects, and there would be approximately between 1,000 and 2,000 of those people in the Pilbara.
Your members?
The members of my union. And those, at the moment, there would be approximately 1,500 construction workers in the Pilbara, mainly on the Burrup construction, also on the North Rankin A platform, and on the various sites. There are a number of construction workers at Cape Lambert at the moment, and there would be construction workers on some of the iron ore projects.
Is your union the biggest union in the member-wise in the area?
No, it's not, Wendy. The largest number of the union with numerically the largest is the Australian Workers Union, whose membership primarily is in the iron ore industry.
Oh, I see. So, what percentage of the workers, of your workers, would be in the major companies?
Approximately. Well, out of that initial 25, there would be 2,500 members spread throughout the iron ore industry, employed by iron ore companies.
Yeah, well, apart from contractors, what I was trying to get at was how many of them are in these companies that you've had good deals with in the past, and get provident funds and all those sort of things.
It'd be about 2,000.
2,000. So that's most of them?
Yes.
Oh, I see. You don't have that many in the working for contractors.
We do have members work for contractors, but they're nowhere near the majority, and they're not the balance either.
No, I still do. And, well, that means that your workers would be among the better paid, would they?
Yeah, maintenance workers are well paid workers, and they're not by far the best paid. Because some of the operators and some of the train drivers are better paid by virtue of the fact that there's more of them on continuous shift work, and by that they would be higher paid. But their base rates and their award rates are very similar.
Okay. What's continuous shift work mean?
Continuous shift work means people that work on a shift roster, usually in the Pilbara, that's a four panel, three shift system. days, afternoons and nights.
I and your members will be more likely, do they work shifts?
They do work shift, but the majority of them would be on permanent days.
When people talk about the Pilbara, I mean, when we're down south or over east, we tend to think of all the workers sort of on similar conditions, but in fact there's quite a lot of grades and different groupings.
That's right. There's a spread of wages and conditions commensurate with the sorts of work that people do. For example, it is a continuous mining, processing and production export industry. Therefore, you require people to operate those systems, such as shovel drivers, truck drivers, people who operate the equipment, who do the car dumping, who drive the trains from the mines to the coast, who operate the processing systems at the coast, who stockpile it, who work on the reclaimers, who load the ships, who let go the ships, so on and so forth. And they would be in various unions. There's approximately 9 unions in the Pilbara, 9 main unions involved in that industry, and there are varying levels of wages and conditions applicable to each.
I'm never quite sure because of the Pilbara, just where it starts and where it finishes.
Well, it starts at the 20. It physically starts at the 26th parallel of latitude.
That goes near what town?
Carnarvon. Mm-hmm. And it runs to the Kimberley, which is Broome, right. I think it's across from Broome, without looking at a map.
So it's inside the tropic. It's inside the tropic. Yeah. And the workers that you organise, or that you're responsible for, are they widespread? I mean, how far is the furthest one away from?
From where I'm stationed?
Yeah.
The furthest one would be at Shark Bay, which is south of Carnarvon, employed in salt industry. That's in a southerly direction. In an easterly direction, the furthest away would be at Parabadu for the sake of the iron ore industry. There would be other members who work further east than that, in main roads with contractors, perhaps in the gold fields and so on and so forth.
And what about the north?
To the north, my area of responsibility goes as far as Wim Creek, which is approximately 100 kilometres north of where we are.
I suppose you get extra manpower up here because you're spread out, or do they still?
Well, from time to time, extra officials come into the area on the basis of need, and we have had an extra organiser in the area since October to assist with the Burrup construction project because of the large nature of it. It's the largest industrial undertaking ever in the history of Australia.
Yeah.
It's been reported to me that it's 5 times bigger than the Snowy Mountain scheme in terms of man hours required and capital. The capital input is approximately $12 billion, and the expenditure rate is currently at the rate of $3 million Australian per day.
A day?
Gee,
what's that idea? Well, look, physically, what are they doing? What's the terrain out there, and what are they doing to it?
The Burrup?
Yeah.
The Burrup Peninsula project is a very rough terrain, and is a peninsula extending into the ocean on which there is an LNG, liquid natural gas plant, which receives gas from offshore from the Rankin platform, 140 kilometres away. East-northeast of Karratha, and it is processed and shipped pumped 1,500 kilometres south to Perth inside a steel pipeline buried beneath the surface of for most of its journey, and it's used for domestic gas supply in the main in Perth.
And what's the idea of the new works then?
The new works is to build a liquid natural gas plant which will export gas to Japan I think every 5 days there will be an LNG tanker. The gas is brought ashore and processed and is frozen at 161 degrees Celsius below zero and stored in tanks, in four major tanks on the Burra, and then pumped into tankers which are specially constructed to do the work. I understand that there'll be five of those tankers, and they will be, I think the initial three, and eventually maybe five, will all be manned by Australian Seamen's Union members.
Who's financing this monstrous project?
I'm not, without going getting papers, aware of who all the bankers are.
The primary
people involved in it are Shell KLM of Holland, BHP of Australia, Cal Asiatic of America, Jap Gas of Japan, and Woodside.
And Woodside an Australian firm?
Woodside originally an Australian firm. I think they still are.
So it's very big. It's big money to the international capital.
Yes, and I understand it's the biggest single investment that any one of those joint part or one of those in, companies has ever made.
We're a bit tired, aren't we? I mean, if the Japanese market failed, or they seem to want it, they'd be out of stuff, wouldn't they? Or would they be able to sell it somewhere else?
I don't know whether they'd be able to sell it anywhere else. The primarily the gas will be used to provide energy in the terms of heating for cooking and electricity to approximately 90 million Japanese peoples in Japan. I would think that that it would be unlikely that the market would fail on the basis of consumerism. It might fail for other reasons. I understand that there are only 11 LNG plants in the world. I'm not quite sure of all their exact locations. One's in South America. There might be one in the States. There's one in Canada. There's one in Libya. There's one in Saudi Arabia somewhere. There's one in Malaysia at a place called Bintulu. I think that's I can't remember his name. It's a Sultan. It's supposed to be the richest bloke in the world or something.
Now, talking about people talk, we're going to talk about the various projects in which your union has got members, where shall we start? Can we start with the Burra or start with the iron ore industry, eh?
Iron ore industry.
Yeah, tell us what they do. I don't really even know how the iron ore industry is, how it starts to mine and what happens to it. Can you give us a brief description of how they handle it?
There's two systems of mining in the iron ore industry. Both are basically similar, except the technique is slightly different. For example, at Hamersley Iron's mines of Mount Tom Price and Parabadoo, it's done by a bench stripping system, and that is that a bench is built into the face of a hill of iron ore, and then the shovels go in and work off that bench and load it into trucks. The trucks cart it away. And it's built, if you like rice paddies are in Southeast Asia, into a mountain. There are many tiered. And as the process continues, benches are built. At Robe River's mine at Panawanika, a similar system is done. It's an open cut system. But
they're
mined off.
They're digging down a hole, they're digging into a hill.
They still dig into a hill, but what they do at Panawanika, they use what's called a capping method, and they only take the cap off the mesa, and then they load it in. They don't use a bench system as such. And once they finish with the cap, they go to the next.
That's where the iron is.
Yeah, the iron ore, the best iron ore is in those caps. And there are different properties between the different mines, and they have different purposes.
Okay. And how do they treat it? Do they smelt it here? Or?
No, there's no secondary industries in the Pilbara for iron ore. There's only primary industries of mining, and then it's shipped to the various parts of the world, primarily Japan.
How do they get down to the, same with Hammersley, how do they get it down to the coast?
Hammersley, they take it off the benches. In some cases, they put it through what's called a beneficiation plant. They do that at Tom Price. They don't at Paraburdoo. It's then loaded into, which is, they mix various grades of ore to get an even average quality. It is then loaded onto trains after it has been crushed into small particles and then railed to the coast at Dambier and loaded on ships, or stockpiled and loaded onto ships at either East Intercourse Island or at Parker Point. At Robe River, it is mined and tipped straight into ore cars, railed to the coast, and then put through a crusher, then put through secondary crushers, then stockpiled, and then loaded. And the difference there is that Robe River is the only iron ore operation on the west coast, or the northwest coast, that crushes at the coast. All the other operations do it at the mine.
I see. And do they in any way sort of clean it or figure out, I mean, how do they get rid of the, or is it solid ore? I mean, is there much dirt in
there? There is impurities.
Yeah.
And different ore bodies have different sorts of impurities.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore are more attractive and have different advantages and disadvantages in terms of use in a blast furnace. And because of those properties and impurities, some are better suited to blast firsting techniques than others.
Yeah, well, do they, what's the Australian government, state, benefit much from this? Do they pay a royalty or what?
I understand royalties are paid to the state government and therefore to the federal government. The exact formula is about that.
I think that I remember rightly that the West Australian government takes a fairly low royalty compared.
Yes, they do. Compared to, for example, the coal industry in Queensland,
There's
decidedly differences.
Mm. I wonder how that came about. I suppose it was the government at the time that made to have the industry that they were willing to.
I think the basis of it was, simplistically, and you know, I only know from a simplistic point of view, that. To attract the original investments, it was structured that way by the existing government.
Should have had it going after a while. Hang on, that sounds good. Now, what sort of your experience? What was your history? I don't know. Let me ask after all. Now, tell me now, before we go on to your own personal experience. About the Burrup, what sort of buildings, and when people talk about the first stage of the Burrup and the second, I don't know nothing about it. Explain to me what's happening, what they're building.
Well, the first stage of the Burrup Peninsula started in 1982, and I think some of the civil work started in 1981, and that is that they carved out, in a very small part of the Burrup Peninsula, an area where they could put a large industrial undertaking. And that, I never saw it at that stage, but it must have been a massive exercise. From there, the civil works were put in, and the metal construction people went in after that and did the steel work, along with the carpenters and electricians and the crane drivers and the others. That's resulted in the first stage, which is now producing domestic gas for consumption in Perth by domestic suppliers and the government and so on,
what's
and industry.
Like? What's the buildings look like? Are they gasometers or...?
No, they're in fact large sheds, if you like, that house equipment and generators and compressors and some very sophisticated equipment, although in engineering terms, I think that the physics of it are quite simple in how you clean gas and how you freeze it and so on and so forth. They then they also take another product off that, what is called condensate. And condensate is fed off into a separate tank, and that is being shipped on about, I think, once in 3 to 5 week basis to Japan. The second stage, which is currently under construction, is a major undertaking, five or six times bigger than the first stage, and started in 1986. And in terms of metal trades people, in terms of civil people, it would have started late 85. And that's due to go through until its estimated completion at the end of 1989.
And what will that be? More of the same?
Or? More of the same, but on a massive scale.
It happens to cover a big area?
I think the physical area is probably about 50 or 100 acres of land. Or so it's quite small, the physical area. I mean, to view it with the naked eye, it's quite large. I don't think you'd want to walk back and forward across it to make a living.
Yeah, but it's not like the Snowy Mountains. You compare it to Snowy Mountains, because Snowy Mountains was big and exciting and widespread and, you know, you saw something that was finished. This is a different type of area.
Yes. Why I say it's five times bigger than the Snowy Mountain scheme is, the number of man hours that are required to do the work are far more, the amount of money involved is far more, and the number of people. But they are in a much smaller physical area, and you can imagine the sorts of congestion that results from that, and the matter of planning and the thought that has to go into that, and also the problems that raises.
Where do they live?
There are two main areas where workers and their families live that are associated with that project. That is at Hearson's Cove, in a single man's village, or at a small caravan park at the village where married couples can live who don't have children. And there are three large caravan parks in Karratha where people can live.
And is it by the company?
No, the caravan parks are owned by one company who have recently taken over, called Fleetwood Caravans, I think, or Fleetwood Mobile Homes. And there is a small caravan park in the light industrial area, about 5 kilometres outside of Karratha. And there is also housing in Karratha that people can live in if they can get access to it, if they can rent it, so on and so forth.
So it's not like in the Snowy Mountains where they build whole new towns and villages and things to accommodate people. It's going to be it's probably take less time in the Snowy Mountains.
Oh, it's going to take a lot less time.
Yeah, so they aren't building permanent towns. In other words, this big company isn't providing a great deal in the way of accommodation for its workers.
It's certainly not. It is building a large number of houses within the community, but they will be for the supervisory people in the main, and then Woodside themselves are building a large number of accommodation units for their own domestic production workforce.
In Karratha.
Yeah. And that'll be long term, but certainly the large number of people that are involved in construction will either live in a single man's village, which is very close to the job, and the bulk of the remainder of the people will live in caravan parks. And are living in caravan parks.
That places a lot of strains on the community and for services and things, because this, I presume, when they have finished the construction stage, will most of these workers go away?
Yes.
That's the idea. There's no work for them after this.
For the vast majority, there will be no work for them.
I see.
Unless, of course, there is further construction work beyond this stage. That's a possibility. There is another platform to be built, known as the Goodwood platform, and that's to be stationed near the Rankin platform. And
So this sort of like population that comes in waves. Has this been the history of the Pilbara, big construction periods and then falling off the population?
It certainly, that has been the cycle. And all